This is Real Ghost Stories Online, the show where you call in or write in your real ghost stories. We share them and discuss them on the show. 855-853-4802 is our number.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. 855-853-4802, our phone number. You can write in your real ghost story to our website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or email your audio file, Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. Lots of ways to get those to us. And of course, if you like the program and you want to support us, we will immediately get you an e-copy of our book when you become an EPP, extra podcast person. At ghostpodcast.com, a $14 value, an Amazon bestseller there. So you get that right away for signing up, and it's only $5 a month, so immediately you're coming out ahead. You also then get access to all of our EPP bonus episodes, advanced episodes of the show as well, bonus video content, and a whole lot more. Ghostpodcast.com for all that. You can do Patreon as well. The link is all there at Ghost Podcast to keep us on the air. Tony and Sean joining you once again, and it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Kind of.
And I'm okay with that. You, not so much. We're both from Wisconsin. You moved away kind of on purpose.
Yeah.
I moved away just for job opportunities. So I'm a fan of the nippiness. You, not so much.
I'm a fan of snow when there's snow. I'm not a fan of everything is, you know, yellow and gray and brown and it's just cold. I'll take the snow when there's snow. I like to go sledding. It's pretty. I enjoy that for a day or two. And that's kind of what we normally have. Right now, it's just cold. So
you'll take the sunshine and the snow and the sledding, just not yeah. the other 200 plus days of gray overcast.
Yeah.
30 mile an hour wind just blasts you in the face and your car won't start.
Yeah, that was never enjoyable for me. I didn't enjoy the 6 months of the year where that was life in Wisconsin. And then you're kind of playing like life roulette when you're driving home against semis and such. They're just blazing down the ice-covered highways. And it's like, fuck that.
Your teeth would finally stop chattering as you pulled to school. The whole 15-minute ride to school, you literally are clenching your life considering why you're here. And then... when you have to go back outside to walk into the gym, you finally unthaw.
I'm good with I remember when I was a kid, we used to stand outside for the bus, and then we'd have to transfer buses at a location in our town. And the thing back then, of course, was a lot of hairspray, wet hair, and all that. You'd have it kind of made up, take a shower in the morning, your hair's still kind of wet.
And Aquanet.
Yeah, back when I had hair. And I remember vividly being out there in like 10 degree weather or so and hair just literally freezing on your head. I mean, it could probably crack off. And it was nobody, and you wouldn't wear a hat because you're too cool to wear a hat because you're in junior high. And then at that age, too, where it's like, I'm going to leave my coat unbuttoned or unzipped. And then some kids went as far as like, I'm going to wear shorts. And it kind of be almost like a one up thing, but nobody would really ever identify why the hell they were dressing down in the middle of winter in Wisconsin, other than they felt cool and not like, literally and figuratively, I guess, is how it was going. It made no sense.
The taking the bus to school is kind of foreign to me. I never took the bus to school. My mom would always give me a ride, but here's the deal: that first hour of fourth grade on, kind of 50-50 if I would be there on time, because my mom would get ready for work. And I don't know if you know people that always say, I'll be there in 5, and then that's a half hour later is when they actually show up. That is love her to death. She is a saint. Absolutely love my mom. But that is my mother.
Yeah.
Everything is 5 minutes and it's actually 27 minutes. So would show up to school late a bit. And then sometimes, depending upon if we had just left home, and school already started 15 minutes ago, where, whether we hurry up or not, I'm still going to miss language arts. May as well just take our time. We'd stop at the Golden Arches and you'd have breakfast. So probably not the best education, of that class, whatever, at first hour. But yeah. That is childhood memories of school, being late, and the sixth grade picture that we all look upon. Somebody's not in it because they took it right at the start of the school day, and, well, I was having lunch at McDonald's with my mom.
At least you know the breakfast items very well at McDonald's, and you can order without having to be like, what do you want? You know the answer without having to look at the menu. 855-853-4802, our number. Let's go to our first caller of the day. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, guys. This is Kayla from Atlanta. I just wanted to call back in since it's the day before Halloween. I just wanted to tell you a quick little story that happened to me about 10 or 11 years ago when I was around 15, 16. So around that time, when I was 15, my mother had passed away. She dealt with some, addiction issues her whole life, and it finally caught up to her, so she didn't pass in necessarily, like, the most pleasant way. Anyway, so my father had remarried pretty shortly after her passing, and my stepmother was living with us. So when I was about 15, 16, being a teenager, I decided to take my stepmom's car while she was at work with my much younger friend, which is not good. We went for a little joyride up to my mother's cemetery. I almost got busted for driving going up there, so that's fun. We go up there, I give her some flowers, and we get back, and we're home alone because my parents are at work. And we're in the basement room. Split level house in the basement. We have pool table, a TV, couch, treadmill, that kind of stuff. So in the room, there's two doors leading into it. One of the doors is a hollow door that goes to the stairs that goes upstairs. The other door is on the other side of the room, and it leads into the garage. It's a more solid door. So we're sitting down there very shortly after getting back from the cemetery, and I'm sitting down doing homework. My friend's on the treadmill with headphones in her on her head, so she can't hear anything. And all of a sudden, I hear knocking on the door, and it's definitely coming from the door leading to the staircase because it's a different sound. So anyways, I kind of brush it off. I didn't really know what to think because I knew we were home alone, just thought I was hearing things. So it happens again right after I start going back to my homework. It happens again. And this time I'm like, okay, did my friend hear this? I'm like, was that you? Did you hear the knocking? Of course she didn't hear it because she had headphones in. So we go around and we check all the doors and the windows to make sure they're locked. And of course they are. And we just kind of brush it off. We go back to our business. And as soon as my friend puts her headphones in and as soon as I get back to my homework, within a minute or so, I hear it again. And this time, I'm a little freaked out. I'm like, okay, what's going on? I'm definitely hearing this. I get a bat from the basement, and I'm just, like, walking around the whole house, freaking out. Nobody was there. Definitely, like, the middle of the day, a work day, nobody should have been there, and they weren't. And, of course, I only heard it because it would happen right after my friend put her headphones up. I definitely tried to, like, debunk it. My first thought, even when it was happening, is, like, my friend was setting down her iPod a weird way on the treadmill, and it was, like, making the noise. I was like, was that you? But, no, it definitely wasn't. Thinking back, it was very clearly a knocking on the door. And I knew which door it was, too, because it had a different sound. So, anyways, I've been listening to your show a lot, and now I'm kind of creeped out because I know you guys talk about things happening in threes is a bad sign, and it definitely happened in threes. It happened three different times, and they were spaced out, like, pretty cleanly. You know, it wasn't sporadic, and it was three knocks each time. So that kind of creeped me out when I learned this fact. I surely hope that nothing negative was attached to my mother, if it was my mother, since we had just gotten back from this at the cemetery. But then again, we were at a cemetery, and something could have maybe easily followed me back just to, you know, spook me. I don't know. Possibly. I mean, I've always kind of thought that maybe it was my mom, like, giving me a warning sign, like, hey, don't steal someone's car when you're, you know, you don't even have a license. But, you know, just wanted to tell you guys this little story and get your opinions on it, since I've definitely questioned it after hearing the little things happening in threes is equal fact. Love you guys. Keep up the good work, and I will definitely call back sometime.
Thank you, Kayla, for calling in and sharing that story. I think it could very well just not be the mom. I mean, I think that's the general assumption of someone died and they're coming back. It's also a time where we have seemingly other things can intrude into one's life to make you think it is them because you're vulnerable, you're sad, you're in a high emotional state, and that seems to be where things can enter. And it will play on the fact that you're longing to communicate with a deceased loved one. And it's not always that deceased loved one that is there. So I'd be very cautious with the what it is, and especially with the calling card of the three knocks. Your thoughts?
Well, and I think just that, the fact that they had just went to visit her mom, so it very much would make sense that wanted to come over, maybe wanted to remind her not to take her stepmom's car, maybe to ask, maybe to kind of scare some sense into her in that. But I think it may have just be coincidental timing where they had just went to the cemetery to see her mom, but it may have absolutely nothing to do with her. So I would like to see how that all falls out for her. And I think it's a situation where when you say you're vulnerable and hypersensitive, for example, it can be an adamant object as well. If mm-hmm. you're looking for a new vehicle and you go look at a nice Ford Escort, a nice four-door Ford Escort, because you want to get a nice deal on that from Ken over at Johnson Ford. And then, for the next week or two, all you see are Ford Escorts.
Do they still make Ford Escorts?
They don't. I didn't want to give some free love to any current modern-day cars. I think my dad had one. So, and for the seven people, hey, I know a Ford. I had a Ford Escort for $400. We called it the Asphyxiator. Why, you ask? Well, being from Wisconsin, and there's a lot of salt, and now here in the winter months, salt accumulated under the car, right? Well, if you don't go, and here's the deal. If you ever go past a car wash, and it's in the winter, and you think to yourself, why are they getting their car wash? I mean, it's just going to get dirty again. Well, you have to get, in the northern part of the country, you kind of have to get a car wash to get all the salt from underneath. Or eventually, you will buy a Ford Escort for $400, you call the Asphyxiator, because the bottom of the car is rusted. So you literally need to drive with the windows cracked, or you will die. And I did, and it was a great vehicle. I'm not even being sarcastic here. I paid $400 for it. I put gas in it. I had it for like 8 months. And it was a great car. Getting off topic, getting back on topic, is when you are hypersensitive or vulnerable, or you just have that in your mind, you can almost be looking for something or hearing something without even knowing it. Not to say that this is the case here, but absolutely, hypersensitive, and you're more apt for something like that to come about.
Yeah, I agree. Thanks for calling in and sharing that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. I want to let everybody know our EPP bonus episodes it's gone through an evolution. It's kind of happened to me the other day. I was working on the episode, and I thought, you know, I'm going to try something different. I'm going to produce this differently. I'm going to make this more in-depth, more cinematic, more into the storytelling, because that's what those episodes are really all about, are the depth of the story and how they are a little bit like story 2.0. So I want to kind of tease this and let everybody kind of hear a little bit of what the EPP episodes now sound like. It has evolved to a bit of a different sound. It's still, you know, usually about five or six different stories an episode. Sometimes it's fewer because they're longer, but there's definitely a new and improved sound. It's like EPP 2.0 almost. So here's a little snippet, little preview of a recent EPP episode. This is from EPP 222, and this is what you can expect to hear every single week when you become an EPP at ghostpodcast.com. This incident took place in the summer of 89. At the time, I was 12 years old, living in Bronx, New York. My cousin had slept over at my apartment that weekend. To my best memory, it was Saturday night, way after 10 p.m., as my parents had already gone to sleep. We were both eating late-night cereal while a previously aired episode of The Wonder Years played on cable TV. To best explain what happened, let me give you a mental picture of the layout of the apartment that we lived in. I lived on the fourth floor of the building. It was called Apartment 4E. The apartment was quite small. When you walked into the apartment, the first thing you notice is the dining room. as the dining room was at the entrance. To the immediate right was the living room. I was at the foot of the dining table, facing literally straight ahead. Small hallway there with three rooms, all on the right-hand side. The kitchen, my bedroom, and at the end of the bathroom, the only room that faced straight at the end of the hallway was my parents' bedroom. The door was about 25 feet from the dining table. Anyway, getting back to my story, I sat there that night at the foot of the dining table. I had this feeling that someone was watching us. You see, I knew it wasn't my parents because their bedroom door was closed. I remember slowly lifting my head up when I noticed a lady in a white dress. I don't know how, but I knew she was observing us for a while. I remember I was trying to control my breathing as my heart was racing. I wanted to look away, but I couldn't seem to get my eyes off of her. I didn't alert my cousins or scream. I played it cool because I didn't want to scare him as he was 2 years younger than me. Thankfully, he was talking while all of this happened. She stood there directly in front of my parents' bedroom door, staring directly at me. So that's a little tease as to kind of the new feel of the EPP episode. Still, every single week, still same length. It's just the stories and the way they're being presented reimagined a little bit. So it feels a little bit different than the free shows that we have. It's kicked up a notch or two or eight. I'm putting a lot more time into producing these things. And it's really kind of fun. It's really, you got to take a listen and let me know what you think, because it's, I think it really improves the sound of those episodes. So check it out.
I want to know what happened.
You got to listen. EPP 222 is what that one is in.
222.
Okay. So there you go. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Hi, you are on the air. Let's hear yours.
Hi, Briskies. Recent listener. I spent a lot of time on the road. And I found you guys pretty recently, and I just enjoy listening to some of the stories, but here's mine. I want to say like 2009-ish or so. I was spending some time with my then wife, and we were at a friend's house, and his girlfriend was there, and this gets a little personal. But I'll kind of skip over some parts. But basically, we were drinking and having a good time. And, you know, I know people say drinking and then maybe, you know, what we were experiencing because we had alcohol in our system. But I really didn't have that much to drink. But short story, at least to this part where it kind of, where I think instigated what I felt was kind of a very strange situation for me. The guy who was our friend, he approached me in a way that he didn't ask me to do, touched me in a way that I didn't want him to without asking, so I reacted, like I would anyone else touching me if I don't want them to, and kind of did a thing on him because his reaction, and it really upset him. Some history on him is that he always kind of fancied himself kind of a mystical fellow, delving like energies and projecting energy, and I don't know if I'd call him Wiccan or anything like that, but that, he kind of like fancied himself that. And I'm glossing over some details here, but the short of it is, that night, which we did end up spending the night there, I was sleeping, and I also want to preface this. I don't usually have dreams that I can still remember, you know, 10 years later. And this is a dream I can very much recall, or an experience I can very much recall 10 years, you know, having it happen 10 years ago. And sometimes with your dreams, like, I can know I had an extremely vivid dream now, but then, you know, as the day goes on, I don't remember what happened, except for the fact that I had a very vivid dream. I'm just not a dream rememberer like a lot of people are, or some people are. I just don't. It's just not a thing that I've ever done, no matter what. If I ever had alcohol, I don't remember dreams. Usually you don't dream when you have alcohol. It's more of a, a dreamless blackout when you dream without calling your system. So I'm somewhat familiar with the science behind that. And I don't drink anymore. Haven't had, you know, any experiences since really then to compare. So basically in my dream, or in this state I was in, I was watching my ex, then at that point my wife, I'll just refer to her as my ex and going forward, being, and it's hard because, you know, I don't know the audience that's here all the time, but basically being molested by this guy, the guy that at the house we were at, and I wanted to move, like, in my dream to go stop it from happening. You know, but when I started looking at the dream, looking in my lucidity in the dream, I was able to pick out that it didn't quite look like her. It looked more like a representation of her in the dream. It looked like extremely realistic doll of somebody, but definitely, her, that if you were to look at it kind of glancingly, but I knew it wasn't real in the sense of, you know, if you dream about somebody, you know it's them. But then there was this guy, he was like just touching her in places that, you know, normally you would be very upset someone touching your wife or your partner or whatever. And then as I kept looking, like kind of like projecting like how I didn't like this was happening, I saw a very large, tall, I want to say armless, black, smoking entity behind him. I want to say had eyes, not quite sure, but it seemed to be the puppet master to all this. And that's a very apropos statement because it all seemed very like puppet, like everyone was just kind of being controlled. I tried to wake myself up multiple times. I would be shoved back into sleeping, and back into the dream. And that's a very, I can't remember a time in my life that's ever happened before. Like I've never had sleep paralysis. I've never, experienced a sort of feeling where I was unable to wake up. In fact, I wake myself up rather easily. And I wish I didn't sometimes. So it was strange for me to be what I felt, and this is strange, I felt it forcibly put back to sleep so I can continue experiencing this act that was being put in front of me. So I don't know what it was. I've always felt, you know, and I'm not a, you know, I believe that people have, like, energy they can project. I believe people can do things like that. And I believe it is entirely possible that this guy, who I have not spoken to or seen since that evening or that next day, in fact, I think he left to go work in the morning because he worked on the property he lived on. I haven't seen him since or contacted him, and I anything. So it leads me to believe, given what I know, kind of his narcissistic kind of personality, that he was very upset with what I did to him. And he projected something onto me that evening or that night, and is unable and never wanted to see me again. Not that I ever really want to see him again either, because I don't really like anybody, you know, touching me in ways I don't want them to. I'm a very consent-minded person. I don't care about orientation of anybody. I just want, you know, consent if someone's going to touch you or touch me or anything. So that's my story. I don't know, you know, what thoughts you guys have on it. I don't have, you know, I tend to look for other reasons why things happen. I've had other very, very minor, small experiences that I felt were somewhat supernatural, but I've always examined Like, was there a reason why this was happening? That wasn't, say, Predator or Supernatural. So, you know, I don't have it necessarily, you know, mind that goes to it must be Supernatural as the first thing. But yeah, I don't know. I'd love to hear back. I've been trying to listen to you guys' show as much as I can. I'd love to know if you guys are going to use this, you know, in my email address if you wanted to take it, email me. You know, call me back on this number or text me or whatever. I don't really want to tell you, I don't know how you guys do that with contacting or whatever, but I'll listen for it. And I kind of been starting from the beginning with your show and listen to the next thing and the next thing, but I'll look at the new episodes. I listen to you on Spotify. And, you know, I thought about being in the EPP, but I'm not sure. Kind of tied on finances, that's all. Anyways, have a great night. And I'll keep listening to you guys' show. Bye.
So if he's listening from the very beginning, he'll hear her story in about 5 years or so when he's caught up. very interesting, you know, experience there where, you know, what leads me to think maybe there's something more going on is the fact that he said he felt like he was forcibly pushed back down on the bed to continue experiencing that dream. Had it just been, I woke up and it was done, okay. And the fact that he doesn't have sleep paralysis, he's never had this before. You know, that tells me maybe there's something more going on here. Otherwise, like I would say, it might have just been the trauma and the shock of the guy kind of coming on to him, you know, that evening and not wanting that and very much trying to evaluate, well, what the hell? I thought this was my friend. And then, you know, you can project that onto other people too, which could be the cause of the dream. But with everything else that played into there, you know, you have to wonder, is there something else going on there?
And another thing too, with the fact that he felt it is that he was forced back into seeing something that did not want to clearly see or felt helpless to help his then wife is what else is going on in life, his work situation, relationships with others. Is there some additional stress, anxiety put on that then affects when you fall asleep, when you are in a situation where you feel helpless or you're in a job that you want to do more but you can't control it, that upon falling asleep, then your brain works in some very interesting ways.
You're exactly right. It's difficult to say 100% this was paranormal, but I think there are certainly there's arrows pointing to the possibility that, yeah, there might be something else going on here than just a weird dream or, you know, some sort of, you know, trauma playing itself out in a dream, which is a very real possibility. But thanks for sharing and bringing that to the show. 855-853-4802, our number. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Dana from Ohio. I am an EPP, and I've listened to your show since September. I've probably listened to 100 episodes, and I've thoroughly enjoyed them. I have noticed that there had been a trend for a while of people calling in for their dreams or having paranormal things happen to them while they're dreaming, which I thought my stories were pretty crazy, but I guess they're not so crazy because a lot more people experience them more than I thought they would. But I'm just going to take you back a little bit. In 2004, my stepfather, on Halloween, and I got in a huge fight. And it was stupid. It was over the television. He was drunk. I was home. I was typically his scapegoat. So we just got in a big fight. I went back to my bedroom, probably left that evening because it was Halloween. And that was that. So that evening, I had a dream of my stepfather. First off, the dream starts, I'm in a parlor, like a funeral home. And I'm seeing family and friends, and everybody's walking around. And I'm standing in front of a coffin, a blue one. And I'm just kind of taking in the scenario, wondering whose funeral am I at? This is kind of weird. So I look at the coffin, or whatever you call it, the casket, and there's my stepfather laying inside the casket. He's dressed up, looks nice, and I thought to myself, it wasn't necessarily looking at him and seeing him in the coffin that made me weird or anything, but it was the feeling of not having any emotion for him. Like, at that time, I didn't have any emotion that he was dead in a coffin. It was just, well, he's dead in a coffin. So I woke up that morning and I thought, you know what, that was pretty shitty. I wonder why I had a dream like that. And just didn't have any emotion. And I kind of left that feeling kind of like, well, you know, life's too short. Maybe you should make your amends. Tell them you're sorry and move on. So I went to work the next day, worked a half day at a vet clinic, and I got a call at 12 that my stepfather had passed away at home. He was home with my brother, and it was a massive heart attack. So he was 41 years old. And you know what's funny is that guy, I swear to you, he knew he was going to die early. He would tell my mom all the time, you know, when I leave this world, don't worry, your mom's going to be taken care of. And he always made comments about dying before, you know, way young. I guess he had some accidents in his life where he felt like he should have died. He never did. And he just kind of carried that with him. It was 2004. I was 21. He was dead. It was just an awkward situation. I like thought to myself, you know, I just had a dream about him the night before in a coffin or a casket. How in the heck is it possible that he's dead? So I had some guilt with that, thinking, oh God, did I, you know, self-fulfill, like, prophesize this? I don't even know. Anyways, so that was my first experience with him passing away, even before he was dead. About a week later, after his funeral, I had another dream, and this is weird. I wake up in the morning, my mom's making breakfast, I walk by him to ask Mike a question, and there he is sitting at the computer like he normally did on the weekends, doing fantasy football stuff. And he just glances at me and just looks at me, and I just remember him looking like he was in peace. He was peaceful. And I told him, I said, Mike, you're not supposed to be here. And he just looked at me and just shook his head, just nodded it. And I said, what are you doing here? And he gave me that look like, now you know I can't tell you, but he didn't say anything. And I said, are you in a good place? Are you in heaven? And he shook his head, yes. And I just felt like he was saying bye to me. And I don't know if that was just me wanting to tell him bye because I wasn't able to and felt guilty the day we got in a fight and then him passing away the day after. I don't know, but that was pretty crazy. And I woke up that morning feeling like he really did. Like, everything about him was him. But he was peaceful. And the moment that I've known that man, there was not a peaceful thing about him. I mean, he was an alcoholic and he had anxiety issues and he was always uptight, but he was at peace. So that told me something. Yeah, that hit me pretty hard. But anyways, kind of going with that story, I've called in with that story before. I haven't heard it aired before, but, interesting enough, yesterday obviously was October 31st and today is November 1st. And this is like what, 2004, 2018, 12 year anniversary, him passing away. And this past couple of weeks, I'm not lying. I promise you, I'm not making this up. We have a downstairs basement that is, it's totally modeled. It's got carpet and bedrooms and a bathroom down here in the laundry room. I was down the laundry room doing laundry. And this is kind of funny because I'm very anal about turning off lights because Mike was such an asshole about turning off lights. He budgeted his money, and if you didn't leave a room without turning off a light, he would get on you and ground you. So I was kind of anal growing up, turning off lights when you leave a room. So doing laundry downstairs, get my stuff done, walk up the stairs, I always turn the lights off. So I walk up the steps, and I swear to you, I remember turning the lights off. I come up the steps, put my laundry down, walk by the door again, and the light is on down the basement. And I think to myself, what the heck? And I ask the girls, why did you go downstairs and not turn off the light? We didn't go downstairs. Well, the light's on. Well, I guess I didn't turn it off. So I turned it off and did my business. Same thing happened a couple days later with the light. Same situation, go downstairs, do the laundry, walk upstairs, make sure I turn the lights off, and then I walk past the door, and the lights are on. So I think, oh, that's weird. I swear I just turned the light off. But you know, you kind of rub it off sometimes as a mom thing. Sometimes you think you do things and you really don't. You just got so much on your mind. But anyways, didn't think much of it. So last night when we got back from trick-or-treating with the kids, I put the girls to bed. They're wore out. I get ready for bed. I'm doing my rounds, turning lights, locking doors. Go past the kitchen, turn off the kitchen light. There are two lights in the kitchen, but the one light was on. I turn it off. And I remember this because I remember using my iPhone to turn on the flashlight to go back to bed. I go lay down. I plug my phone into charge, and I'm looking over at the door, and there's a light on somewhere in the house because there's light in the hallway. So I get back up, look out in the hallway, and sure as shit, the light on in the kitchen is on. I swear to you, I feel like it was Mike, like, joking with me or something. I don't know. It was definitely a sign. And it is kind of emotional because I have been thinking about him a lot since I've been listening to this show. And even though him and I really didn't get along real well, he was still a big part of my life as a kid growing up, and he did the best he could with what he had. I thought I'd just share that story, and I just think it's really interesting. I can picture him just laughing his ass off of me leaving the basement and turning that light back on, you know? Just a joke. But anyways, that's all I have. Again, thanks again, and I'm sure I'll probably call again with a story.
I think there's certainly something to that where you have the dream of someone dying and you're at their funeral and then the next day they're dead. That is not, I think, just a coincidence when something like that occurs.
I would, thinking differently in the sense of guilt, where when you go to bed in a fight with somebody, whether it's your significant other or your stepdad or a friend, and you just, you kind of have a sense of guilt. Maybe I should have went over it before we went to bed and that we aren't. And I think that played in. I'd like to think not to thinking of his funeral, but I don't believe that there is as much correlation there that then the next day found out that he was dead. It scared the hell out of me. I think that was just more of a we got in an argument and kind of didn't flush through things before we went to bed. So that may have played into it a bit.
So you don't think that there was necessarily a correlation there? You think it was just kind of dumb luck?
Essentially, yes.
Okay.
And I think because the flip side is then you, if that happens to me, I may as well check myself into a psychiatric ward because I would then, how do you dream of being at somebody's funeral only to then find out the next day they literally die?
Do you have this quite often where you get in an argument with somebody and then it's that night they're dead in your dream?
It's funny you mention that, Tony. If I had a nickel every time I dreamt somebody's death and the next day, dead. Well, I would not yet have a nickel, thankfully. But I just think that there's enough to it, much like the caller earlier in the program where she went to visit her mom at the cemetery, then the knocks on the doors. When your brain is a little bit off kilter in the sense of what happened that day, whether it's a positive or negative, that can play into. And again, I really do think it's dumb luck that she had a dream and it was a funeral and it was so morbid that it involved death opposed to just having thoughts or dreams in just a negative fashion. Mm-hmm. Because the flip side is then I think this caller literally is a psychic. I mean, has some type of ability. Wouldn't you think? I mean, if that just happened once where it was something that literally then ultimately turned out to happen, you would think that this would have happened multiple times in different ways.
Well, I mean, I would say psychic if it happens multiple times in different ways. I think there was more so, you know, I think sometimes when you're close to death, sometimes you know it. And others don't, and you may not even really know it consciously. I'm wondering if he was almost just like that night when he was dreaming too, he knew his time was coming and he was kind of communicating to others, this is happening. And it's, you know, some sort of a precursor. We hear that quite often where it's like they're still alive, but you dream they're dead and then they die. So I don't know. I still think that there is some sort of connection there with that. But, you know, there's all different ways of looking at it. I think he definitely did come back and was enjoying screwing with her with the lights at the end of this.
I think he was just being an asshole to her point of laughing and getting a kick out of it.
Yeah.
What I would want to know is if she reached out to her mom or anybody that was in close proximity and had a equally as close relationship to her stepdad as her, to see that night or leading up to it, if they had any weird dreams as well, because if he was just reaching out directly to her.
Yeah, it would be interesting to know. And sometimes people don't open up about that stuff until it's actually brought to the table for fear of being thought of as being crazy. Thank you for calling in and sharing that experience with us. We do appreciate it. 855-853-4802 is our number. If you like the program, become an EPP Extra Podcast Person. We'll give you a free e-copy of our best-selling book, Real Ghost Stories, Haunting Encounters Told by Real People. You get that e-copy when you sign up at ghostpodcast.com. You also get access to all the bonus episodes, every EPP bonus episode, 220 some of those, all the advanced episodes as we release them weeks before everybody else, bonus video content, a whole lot more. Ghostpodcast.com, $5 a month. Support the show, keep us on the air, and get all the extras. Ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Sean, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.